Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. My name is David Gibson, and our guest today is Alea Dale.
Yes.
Say your last name? Dale? Yeah. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you, David. It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah. And as we do for each show, we set an intention. And Alea's intention for this show is gratitude. So the key here is to now hold the frequency of gratitude for the next few moments. I love gratitude. It's just so easy to get to.
It is.
To put you on the spot right away, what would be the sound of gratitude?
I actually think gratitude is a little bit more of a song than a sound because there's so many layers to gratitude. And I actually do this thing called light language. So I'll just sing a little light language gratitude song.
Great.
And I nay way I chi we woo. Kai nay we woo chi we woo. Little sweet gratitude.
Nice. So what are the different layers of gratitude? Because, you know, I've talked to people about, I've done a show on gratitude, and actually a couple of shows. And we talk about even the difference between gratitude and appreciation.
But I think the different layers of gratitude, there's a couple of different vibrations that we need to be in order to move into the vibration of gratitude. The first layer is the ability to hold a vibration of receiving. In order to receive, we have to have a certain level of self-worth and self-love happening within us on a cellular level and on an energetic level. The other component that we need to move into in order to experience gratitude is to be fully in the present moment. We cannot experience gratitude if we're not in the present moment. And when we move into the gratitude, we are then shifting our perspective from perceiving from a place of abundance as opposed to a place of lack. So in order to experience the gratitude, we have to completely release all of the perceptions of lack. So being in the present moment, having the ability to receive, holding the vibration of self-love and self-worth, and trust that somehow the universe and everything in the universe is conspiring to support your greatest happiness regardless of what's occurring for you in the moment.
What might be a portal or a technique other than, you know, doing work to release things so that we can receive, but what might be a good way just to open up receptivity for those of us that have already done some work?
My sense is that the most basic, simple aspect of moving into the place of gratitude is to take a deep breath in. We all have lungs if we're on the planet in a human form, and we take a deep breath in, which brings us instantly into the present moment. And then to just simply perceive what your body is telling you. You're being supported by a chair or a bed or the floor. Move into gratitude for that support. Just be with what is in this very present moment. That's a very basic exercise that you can practice once a day, twice a day, as many times as you want to in the day. And what you're doing is you're moving into the present moment, which means you're no longer in the future or the past, which puts you in a place of lack. And you're just looking at what the resources are around you in this very moment and moving into gratitude for that, however simple it may be.
So you're saying, though, that you have to have self-worth.
Right. That's another one of the layers. So in order to hold self-worth or self-love, my sense is that so often we put our self-worth out on things outside of us. So if I did a good job, if that project went really well, if my relationship is healthy, then I use that as a mechanism to determine my self-worth. Well, that gets us into a lot of trouble really quickly. And I use the analogy, I work a lot with energetic fields, and I use the analogy of we have these little chips, and I call them our self-worth chips. And we just imagine all the little self-worth chips that we have placed outside of ourselves on other people, projects, dreams, futures, accomplishments. And we invite our energetic fields to lift all of our reference points for self-worth off of all of those external vibrations and to bring that self-worth deep within our core. So it's like little taking these little poker chips off of these external vibrations. And just imagine, invite your energetic fields to bring them back onto your own divine line. And then we reference point ourself and our self-worth deep within us in the vibration of the essence, which is that perfect frequency, that perfect vibration, that light. So that's how I work with self-worth.
So it's really just, in a way, it's connecting to spirit, connecting to our soul, connecting to our core essence that is connected to spirit.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's locating to that God within us. So often I hear languaging that takes our power away from us, that there's some external power that's determining our life for us. And my sense is that that actually puts us in the victim role instead of going, you know what, I am the creator of my reality. I am the God energy. I am the expression of the God energy. Now, we might be expressing it with some distortion, and that's where the process of enlightenment comes, of being able to recognize one's own essence in every breath, express one's essence in every breath, and then we have the capacity to recognize the essence of others in every breath.
You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, doing the work to clear out the blockages, to clear out the external self-worth chips that you're speaking about. And, you know, I keep thinking that even when someone has a lot of that going on, the essence, the core, the spirit within them is not far from the surface. So, you know, it's like, the question is, how much work do you need to do? And I keep coming back to this question with many people, including myself. How much work do you need to do to clear stuff? Or I'm starting to think the new paradigm, I do think the new paradigm is just resonating spirit and resonating that connection, resonating the light and love and the higher aspects. And then when you do that, these other negative aspects or chips or whatever, they tend to fall away.
I totally agree with you, and I think the answer to the question that we all kind of ponder, and it's different for every single person, but our mind is the creator of all these limitations, and if we can just put the mind on pause and let our essence, our energy fields, the sound of our being take over, then it's like we move into that vibration of enlightenment. But there's so many incarnations and patterns of believing that it can't be that simple. And I have this little line that I say, you know, if evolution, or rather enlightenment, was difficult, we'd be up a creek without a paddle. My sense is that evolution is, you know, spiritual enlightenment is actually really easy, but we use our mind to get there, and that's not the vehicle towards enlightenment from my perspective. The vehicle is like held in the essence. It's held in this inner river of light that all flows within us. And also we have this energetic field that has an amazing consciousness that we don't use. And, you know, we have the capacity to use it. We just don't know how to look for it and ask it to do stuff.
You know, I would like to speak about the mind part, because I've got another concept I'd like to discuss it with you.
Yeah.
That is, I tend to think that the mind can be used to get you there, but the way it works is two ways. One is it's kind of like, you know, using the mind to search for those self-worth chips that are external. Mm-hmm. You're using them in that way to unravel what the mind has already done, and to keep the mind from going back into these areas of confusion that keep us away. So in a way, I think it's important to train the mind to be able to understand and to be able to you know, not get trapped like it does. that's one component. And the other component is, and this kind of comes from the whole non-dual movement, you know, with Eckhart Tolle and Adyashanti and Gangaji, and that's to use the mind to take you to the brink and then cut the branch off. And a lot of their techniques are to have your mind take you to a place where there's no answer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the mind, you don't just shut it off the mind, your mind just goes, what do I do now?
Right.
And it just gives up, and you, there you are present again.
That's a beautiful way of putting it. And I think that I'm in total alignment with what you're speaking about. You know, it's just those semantics or how we explain our own unique work. And I use the mind to take it to the brink, but I actually, I'll use it in my own languaging. I use the mind to make a request of the energetic fields. And then I get to sit like a little bump on a log and let my energetic fields, my higher self, that aspect of me that knows how to do it. The mind is great at like finding what it is, but it's not a very good fixer. And I perceive that the energetic fields have the solution point. Our higher self has the solution point. Our divine self that's beyond the mind has the solution. And so I simply ask for that solution to come in a certain channel, and it does. And then the mind shifts. So my perspective is that we first have to hold it within our energetic fields in order for our mind to be able to grasp it, our emotions to grasp it, our personality to move into that vibration, our cellular tissue to hold that frequency. So anything that I want to do or anybody that I'm working with, we first bring it in to the energetic fields by simply making the request of the mind, and then the mind gets to just be the little bump on a log and wait.
So when you say bring it into the energetic field, you're talking about finding the vibration of where you want to go? Is that what you're saying, kind of?
Yeah, I call them energetic protocols. So if I wanted to move into a greater degree of self-worth, let's say I was having insecurity. Mm-hmm. We won't use self-worth, we use insecurity. Say I was experiencing insecurity. My perception is that I have taken my awareness for myself off myself. I'm no longer perceiving reality from my essence. I'm perceiving reality from someone else's perspective or in the future, in the past. So I'm going to use my mind, my languaging, to make the request, and it's going to look like this. I'm just going to sort of energetically send this. But the protocol sounds like I ask my higher self to work with my energetic fields, the guides, me in the future as an ascended master, to locate all of my reference points for perceiving reality. So now my mind has just made a request. Then there's this some other aspect of me that's going and locating all those vibrations for perceiving reality. And I ask that it's brought back to my higher self. My higher self cleans, clears, recalibrates those vibrations, and brings them back onto my own divine line. And then I get to just sit and wait for my energetic fields to do that which I have requested.
Do you have to be more advanced, or do you have to know what that field is like, or can anybody can do this?
Anybody can do this.
Uh-huh.
You could be sitting in your living room, cracking a beer, drinking, watching the football game, and you could just say, you know what, that energetic aspect of me, this isn't even spiritual, that energetic aspect of me that knows how to locate all of my love for myself that I've put outside myself, bring it back and turn it in on me. We can be very basic with the request, but it's kind of like you go into a restaurant and there's the people that bust the table, and you ask them for a steak, and they say, well, I'm actually not your waiter, so I can't deliver that message to the kitchen. You have to wait for the waiter to show up. And so my sense is that the energetic field, your higher self, is like the waiter. You make the request, and then you get what you've ordered. Whereas if we make requests to the mind or to aspects or to the angelic realm that aren't calibrated to do that request, it doesn't happen.
Oh, so the key is to ask your higher self, you're saying?
I think so. Ask the higher...
that's great.
it's what I've found works. I work with, you know, people all over the world, and I've been in the field for 15 years now in this current incarnation. And it's, you know, after I think about 10 years, I had an enlightenment experience in 2001 where literally all the lights got turned on and I was able to perceive these other dimensions and other realms, and started working very closely with guides on the other side who were teaching me how to work. And I said, you know, I'm working with all these people and I really want to help them shift, and shift quickly. You know, we've got so much work to do. And this was the information that came in that I use now, and it's potent, powerful. It's got a nice little power punch to it.
I've got a question that I've been really wondering about a lot lately. And because, you know, I've gotten really good at connecting to my higher self,
mm-hmm.
especially in the last year. I can just go into it really easily, and it seems to be about a foot or maybe even a little higher above my head, which is where I connect to it. However, on the other hand, there's also, you know, we teach here how to find your root soul frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, when I say it, I go to my root soul frequency. Yeah, yeah. That's it. And so, you know, and I've never seen this anywhere, that anybody has ever compared the higher self to the soul. And my intuition is that they're the same, but they seem to be in different places in my body.
Yeah, I think they are the same. And I think that when I'm just looking energetically at your fields, it actually looks like, and not many people do this, but there's our higher self can exist above us, but I also think that as we move through our journey, it exists within and around us in the same time-space continuum, just in a slightly different dimension. And as we evolve, we literally bring our higher self into our reality. It's called a higher dimensional merge, where you are your higher self. Now, you can occasionally drop down into your mini-me world that doesn't hold the same consciousness as the higher self, but I think of the higher self as our essence, as our soul, and you're just tapping into the extension of your higher self as you go down into the nature kingdom and Gaia.
Well, you know, Alice Bailey has a whole the whole discussion about building the Antahkarana to the soul.
Yes.
And she has a very specific technique to building that connection so that you can exactly move into, you know, living in the soul as opposed to the mini-me.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got great information.
There's also, it's interesting, Master Sha, Jigong Sha, his guy, or the people he work with, they talk about the soul being in different chakras, and as you expand, as your consciousness raises, the seat of the soul moves up the chakras, and most people, he says, they actually can see it. It's in either what's least below the heart. It's often in the solar plexus. I don't know though.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. I haven't heard that perspective, but it makes a lot of sense, because I actually have memory of coming onto this planet. And right before I came on, my soul kind of did this fetal position, which is interesting that we start off in the fetal position in the womb. But I went into this tight little ball, and the center of the ball was the center of where the solar plexus resides. And the tighter you can go into a ball, the more likely you are to remember who you are, where you came from, and what you're doing. And it's like we...
Right before you're born?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So like we get ready for our big adventure and we jump off the platform, and the tighter your ball is, and I actually think that as a soul evolves, we move into greater degrees of commitment to our soul and its evolution. And it's kind of like, if you've increased your commitment over your incarnations, you can get yourself into a really, really, really tight ball where you have the capacity to remember all that you're doing and whatever information that's relevant for
that's
you.
That's interesting. What that makes me think of is You know, if we have, which I do believe that we have, is a root soul frequency that is carried from lifetime to lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Alice Bailey says as well. And then it makes me think that if you have these other resonances that are being pulled by habit, then that's that. Then your ball of frequency is not as tight.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, well, cool.
So, tell me what happened when you went through your transformation.
I was actually lying on a sound table. It was 2001.
It was funny. I just got off the sound table. That's why I was kind of a little groggy when I first got on here.
And the sound table was made of water, and there were speakers underneath it.
Oh, Don Estes' sound table.
It wasn't Don Estes, but I've been on Don Estes' table.
Oh, cool.
And this was in 2001 in Ridgway, Colorado, and you know, there are all the crystals above, and I'm hearing these beautiful sounds, and literally within like 30 seconds, my entire consciousness shifts, and it was literally as if all of the veils were dissolved, all of the lights turned on, full memory. And up to that point, I'd been on the spiritual journey of, you know, self-discovery, and I was an acupuncturist and a massage therapist, and I'd become a Reiki master, and I'd studied with psychic and clairvoyance. So it was, you know, doing meditation. It was definitely the path that I had chosen, and it was just like all my memory came back, all of this awareness, the ability to perceive other dimensions, to hear other beings, to remember the last 1,800 years, and it gets a little foggy. And so after that, I then, you know, went back into my acupuncture practice the next morning, and my clients could perceive the shift, and I just started working with people in a different way. I still use needles a little bit, but I started working in addition with their energetic fields. And so my whole awareness, my whole life completely altered. I ended up moving to a different community and closer to the dolphins, which I, you know, they started visiting me in dream time after that enlightenment experience. And it took me about 5 years to integrate a 30-second shift in perception. So, in truth, I think that the turtle
30
way,
seconds, but over hundreds of lifetimes, huh?
Yeah. You know, it was like just this boom, flash. And it's so funny because I work with my clients, and I'm like, so what's your intention for today? And they'll say, well, enlightenment. And I'm like, okay, well, let's go nice and slow so you don't have to spend 6 years, you know, integrating 30 seconds.
Oh, come on, let's go for it.
It can be very disorienting. But so I basically help people in their own personal enlightenment experiences and using all of the conflicts that they have in their life as opportunities to grow and learn, so we start embracing them instead of running from them.
I have to tell you an experience that I just had on Monday that might bring us into a whole other field here that where we could do something here to really, really take off on this, this inner on the show here. I had a treatment, or not a treatment, a download. I had a reading, and it was just a straight download the entire time on Monday from this woman that I had a couple of readings with. And her guide started downloading this information into me from the beginning. And they put in various codes for me to use to heal the planet next month. Very specific Fibonacci harmonic series. And she gave me the time when I will be able to, I will use it to, and what I'll be able to do to help harmonize the entire planet. And she said that the dolphins, it will be a water ceremony. And one of my main songs that I've created for the sound table is Water of Life. And the water ceremony, I will be helped by the dolphins and the whales on the planet.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So that's that.
I love that. Yeah, they are amazing beings, and I definitely feel that if we, each one of us brings in you know, the gifts, the information, as you're speaking about, that the consciousness shift that we are all experiencing on the planet right now will happen a lot more gracefully. My sense is that we're in a shifting from Homo sapien to Homo illumination, and that Gaia is literally, I actually think of Gaia as an ascended master who has chosen to go through all of the steps of enlightenment now in the form of a planet. And that right now she's going through this shift of shifting from one consciousness into a more enlightened consciousness, and we're all along for the ride. And as she shifts, we shift. And it's interesting that you speak about getting downloads and codes and working, you know, using sound along with the assistance of the whales and the dolphins, because I think it was about in November, I was talking to my guides and saying, you know, I want to be of greater service in the world in a bigger way. How can I do that? And I got a download and they said, you know, start doing daily meditations for Gaia. And I said, well, okay. And then they brought in another piece and offer them to people. And so, and just a month, 2 months ago in February 24th, I started daily meditations. And the intention is to assist Gaia and people, because we're all, you know, experiencing the same thing, in bringing in specific vibrations, codes, activations, intentions that will assist us in our transformation. And on Earth Day, I actually did a session for Earth and sort of asked her to bring all of her respect off of everyone and back into herself and all of her self-love. And, you know, it's just that place of holding vigil for another being that's going through their own enlightenment experience. Mm-hmm. So I think it's absolutely lovely that you're bringing that forth. Yeah.
What do you think about connecting to the dolphins and the whales right now?
I have been connecting with them a lot more frequently. I kind of went through 2008, I wasn't connecting with them too much, and then 2009 came around and they just really came into my conscious awareness. And I live in Santa Barbara, actually in a little town just south of Santa Barbara, Carpinteria. And our house is like a mile away from the beach. And so I go out there and see them and talk with them, and they actually worked with me and taught me sound. I would go out in my kayak and I would have, you know, very obvious voice lessons by them. And just a couple weeks...
Or did you hear them?
No, really, in the physical dimension. Uh-huh. I would... this started in about 2001. I was living in Telluride, Colorado, and they started coming to me in dream time. And then one morning, you know, they woke me up from a dream and said, you know, you need to move to the water. And I said, okay, well, what direction? They said west. So I drove west. I rented my house within a week. I closed up my practice. I said, I'll be back once a month for 10 days. And I drove west, and I drove down to L.A., and then I said, now where? And was told north, and so I drove all the way up to Bellingham, Washington, now where? And I basically drove the coast for a year and a half looking for a new home, and settled in Santa Barbara. And it's so funny because Santa Barbara has, you know, at the end of the main street, which is State Street, there's this beautiful statue of three dolphins. And so anyhow, I settled in that area, and every practically every day for 2 years, I would have a dream, and they would say, okay, at 8:15, meet us at Butterfly, or at 9:30, meet us at a different beach, and you know, it's your sound class. And so I would jump in my kayak, and there they'd be. They'd be like, you know, a foot from my boat, and then they would start to telepathically communicate with me and say, okay, now make this note. And then they'd sort of say, okay, now open the back of your throat more, anchor it into your chakra systems, now make that sound from the heart. And so it was this two-year process of learning sound from them. And occasionally they would, you know, they'd leap if I got it right, or they'd take off if I got it wrong. And one morning they were talking to me, and I was toning and singing, and one of these dolphins came up, like, 3 feet from me and stuck his head out and started going and talking back. And so it's just that, you know, I feel like they're more my family than my biological family, even, because there's just this knowing, there's this play, there's no drama, there's no attachment. We can be anywhere in the world and be connecting. And so that's kind of how I work with them. And I actually just got back from Mexico. I take groups all over the world to connect with whales and dolphins and open up their telepathic communication and do sound healing and meditation and working with their energetic fields. And I just took 8 people down to Mexico in Los Animas, which is about 800 miles south of the border. And we saw 4 fin whales and 5 orcas and, you know, got within 20 feet of them. It was just an exceptional, amazing trip, and found a pod of 500 dolphins that were just swimming with us and playing. And so I definitely teach people how to communicate with them. I think that they are the galactic library, the whales are in particular, that they carry all of the codes, all of the frequencies. My sense is that they actually hold the highest vibration on the planet. And if I'm not a religious person, but if I were to start a religion, it would be the religion of whale. You know, whale and dolphin, the cetaceans. And it's just because I think their souls, their beings, have such incredible wisdom and consciousness, and that we should be protecting them and honoring them and creating safe, sacred space. I sort of think about, if I had, you know, $5 trillion, what would I do with it? I would buy every single shipping company, and I would make them all silent motors. I would take all whaling off of the oceans. I mean, I would go hardcore of making our oceans, which is 80% of this planet, the most sacred, serene, protected, beautiful, clean environment that we can have. And when we shift the consciousness in the oceans, it shifts the consciousness of the planet. So I'm on my little soapbox now, but that's how I feel about the whales and the dolphins.
That's great. You know, I've gotten the impression from quite a few different realms, also from speaking to people that have done dolphin research, that the dolphins and the whales are communicating through a language of harmonics as opposed to melody.
Right. And holographically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My sense is they have the capacity to emit certain frequencies that then show up as holographic images with emotions, thoughts, actions, tastes. It's like this huge holographic imprint that can be relayed throughout the universe. We just don't have the technology to register that at this point in time.
If it's appropriate, could you check in and see if there's any you could connect now and bring it through your voice?
Yeah.
I'll help.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so let me just, it's actually a message from the whales. And it's about remembering where we're all from and why we're here. I did send you, it was the toning track. We might want to play that for people just to have their ears calibrated, their hearts calibrated to this.
Oh, here it comes. Is that it?
Speaking of sound and conscious beings, I was able, it was my very first CD that I recorded, and I was in Santa Barbara, and the day before I had gone out and was kayaking with the dolphins, and they said, "Hey, Alea, we want to share with you some information about manifesting." And so they shared with me all these energetic protocols. And I thought, super cool, I'm going to bring that into the sound recording studio and bring in a meditation specifically, or a track for manifesting. So the next day I'm in the sound studio, and my sound engineer is on the other side of the glass, and I've got my little headset and my mic, and all the doors are closed. It's just me in there. And I tune my ears to the other realms, which is where I always tone from. And I'm just sort of listening to the angelic songs that are playing on the other side, and getting ready to literally mimic those sounds that I hear in the other realms into this one. And you can hear me breathing. And they actually allowed, the angelic realm allowed themselves to be recorded for about 15 seconds. And so I didn't know that at the time. I did the toning, and then I went and did the meditation. And then I came out of the sound booth, and my sound engineer said, cool, let's edit that and see, you know, what it sounds like. And so we went to the very beginning, and you can hear me breathing, and my sound engineer looked at me, and he said, Alea, what's that other sound happening behind your breath? I didn't know you could do that. And I said, that's not me. That's what I hear in the other realms. And he totally gave him, you know, the goosebumps all over his body, and he started shaking. But maybe your guy can play us the Just Angels. It's just the sound. You can hear me breathing in the background, and then angels literally coming through.
Go ahead, Don. Don?
That's them. Those are the angels. So that's what I got.
Wow, and that's what you actually hear.
Yeah, like that.
Oh my God, that's amazing. So so what? Where? What angels are? Who are they? Who are they?
We always want to put a name to everything, right?
Yeah, I mean, are they masters? Are they archangels?
They're definitely masters.
Are they just little angels flying around, or is it just what?
You know, it's so funny because I really am careful not to create like a name for what I work with.
Uh-huh.
Because it creates a limitation, like, well, is it this person? Is it that person? What I go more with is a consciousness of enlightenment and an incredibly pure high vibration. And I ask that consciousness, beings that carry that consciousness, that vibration, to come through and assist me. So my sense is that those beings are masters of sound. They definitely were linked in with the dolphins because it was basically, you know, a dolphin manifestation meditation that was coming through just prior to those sounds. So I actually think that, you know, we'll hear different things, but it was definitely a high consciousness of love. You know, that sound is a very sweet, sacred sound. Instead of saying, oh, it's Christ, or oh, it's Buddha, or oh, it's Kuan Yin, or... You know, I just accept that there are all of these beings that are here to help us, and some of them may have names and some of them may not have names. And if we just open ourselves to receiving those that serve from a place of love and light, we're always going to be in good hands.
Now, in relation to that, you speak of various multidimensional realities.
Yes.
So I assume there's... Do you have, like, different layers that you have outlined for yourself?
I do a bit. You know, it was interesting. About 4 years ago, I was intrigued by this whole multidimensional conversation and concept. And, you know, my soul knew that we have these multidimensional realities, but I wanted a little bit more specific information. And, again, I'm not really a detail person. I'm more of a holistic person in my thinking. But I did have a dream, and I asked my guides, how many dimensions there were on this planet? And they said to me, well, there are 48 other, which means there's 49 dimensions on this planet. Now, there's some ancient texts that say there's 52 or 54 or 12 or 24. And all I can go off is the information that I've been given and trusting and knowing that this planet is in a huge transformation, which means things that may have occurred 1,000 years ago or 500 years ago might actually not be true anymore because we're in this shift. My sense, too, is that our chakra systems are changing as we go from this Homo sapien to a Homo illumination. And I also think that this transition that we're in is a 200-year evolutionary leap. So for us to get really focused on the details of, like, well, today is da-da-da, we want to look more at the cycles. But coming back to the multidimensional reality, my sense is that we are expressing ourselves in many different dimensions all at the same time. And we actually have the capacity to use the other dimensions to assist us here in this physical one. The physical dimension is a great indicator for the consciousness that we are carrying in the other dimensions. So if my left knee is not operating appropriately, I am going to actually look at the consciousness that I'm carrying in other dimensions and make sure that my left knee is functioning in all of the other dimensions, because my sense is that the blueprints for our physical reality are actually held in the other realms. Mm-hmm. So using the other dimensions to create that which you intend, to heal yourself, to move yourself into greater degrees of alignment, to gather information. Our mind is good at gathering a certain amount of information, but then we have other aspects of ourselves that are in other dimensions where we can, it's like the art of multitasking. I also believe that we have guides and beings that surround us. I actually call them, and they're not so much guides, it's more of the team, and I have a whole story about that. Shall I go into that, or do you have another question about multi?
No, tell us. I do have a question, but we can come back to it.
Okay, so it was about 6 or 7 years ago, and I was living in Telluride at the time and working with a client who had gotten hit by a semi-truck in this tiny little town. You know, like, semi-trucks do not come through that often. But she had been saying for years, I will take the hit in order for my family to have financial abundance. Well, she literally did. Now, she didn't die. She was left with a gnarly whiplash and a really bad headache. And after about 8 sessions, there was really no shift at all. And for me, that was kind of unusual, and not to be, you know, arrogant at all, but I love what I do, and I have great passion, and I have great success, which I'm in gratitude for. But after 8 sessions of her not shifting at all, I was a bit beside myself, and I sat down. We put the needles in, and she still had this gnarly headache, and I put my hands down, and I put my head down, and my hands were over my eyes, and I silently said, what am I not seeing? And instantly my third eye opened, and I saw, it had been open before, but, you know, it comes and goes, and I saw this being standing next to her holding his head. And I said, what's wrong with you? And he said, well, I took the hit for her so she wouldn't die. So I instantly asked the Ascended Masters to encircle him, to bring in the appropriate sacred geometric healing chambers, to activate the sound of healing, to release the trauma, activate the spiritual lesson. And I did this all silently because I was still kind of in the closet with my energetic balancing. And within like 30 seconds, she lifted her head up and she looked at me and she said, Alea, my headache is gone.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And I had always been connecting with my team and working with them, but it never really dawned on me to work with other people's teams. And my sense is that before we incarnate here in this physical dimension, we don't want to be alone down here. And so I actually think that we travel with a team for many, many incarnations, and we just sort of forget we have a team around us.
And like our soul pod? Kind of?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're not in the physical dimension. They're not actual human. You know, they're not in the human body during the time you're incarnating. It's sort of like you get to choose who stands in the middle. And this time, you know, you've been elected to stand in the middle, i.e. the physical dimension. And you've got your team around you that remembers all the previous incarnations, when they were in the middle, all their belief systems, all their traumas. And so I teach a workshop called Level 1 and Level 2 of the 7 Gateways, where I teach people how to literally work with their teams, acknowledge their teams, help their teams evolve themselves. And as our teams move into higher vibrations, it then changes our reality. The example is, imagine me, David, hanging out with you during the day, and I'm incredibly calm and serene all day long. That would probably wear off on you. And you'd be like, oh, cool, I'm super calm, serene, everything's all good. But then let's say that I hang out with you and I'm really anxious and I'm standing next to you and I'm like fretting and worrying. You're probably going to get pretty anxious in a couple minutes.
Basically,
so our teams, which exist in other dimensions, affect our reality. And so if we can move our teams just simply by inviting themselves to move into their essence, to remember who they are, to bring their awareness back onto their own divine line, to model right energy, our reality starts to change. And then we are supported by these really positive vibrations in other dimensions that then assist us in our life. And I actually learned how to fly a plane. I got my pilot's license a couple of years ago. And because I just wanted to have an educated argument with my husband, who's a pilot. And I actually sent my team to go become master pilots because I was having a really hard time landing this huge chunk of steel. And so, you know, it was Wednesday, and I said, okay, now overnight, I want you guys to all, I'm going to have leave one behind so I'm not feeling lonely, but everybody else, go and learn how to land a plane and land it really well. So the next morning, I show up for my pilot's life, you know, my pilot's training, and I jump in the plane, and I performed miserably the day before, and everybody in my team is, like, supercharged up. They know how to land the thing, and they're all supporting me, showing me the information, modeling right energy to me, energetic fields feel that, and every single landing, it was like 15 landings in the lesson, perfect, greased them all.
Wow.
So
go ahead. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, so the trick is to simply ask and guide your team to help them to harmonize with you or I mean, it sounds like you're basically, even in a way, teaching or resonating your team into a higher vibration.
Definitely.
Is that kind of right?
Yes, exactly. And I actually have a couple meditations, audio meditations, that are on my website, aleyadao.com. And you can go there. They're free. And you can listen to those meditations and connect with your team. There have been a couple situations where I've worked with somebody that doesn't believe they have a team member, and I actually work on the team member to see if they believe that they're actually standing in a team and affecting somebody in the physical dimension. They don't believe it, and so then we help them shift their consciousness, and then the person that's lying on the table or sitting with me in the session then has the capacity to perceive their team members. So there's lots of different exercises you can do with the team. There's meditations that you can do with your team, but essentially it's like very basic. Imagine beings standing around you, and imagine the vibration you want them to hold that supports you in your service work, in your own evolution, and have them model right energy to you to assist you in your journey here.
I didn't quite get that. So it sounds like, though, it's almost like the basic idea of being a resonator.
Yeah, you get your team to have a resonance that supports you.
And you do that by just resonating yourself?
You do that by asking them to change their vibration.
Uh-huh.
So for the people
just
that are
say,
listening,
hey, what's up, guys? Come on, let's go for
it. Yeah, exactly. And we can do a little exercise right now. So, you know, you, David, you can do this and see if you feel a shift within yourself and anybody listening. And just ask your team that stands around you to kind of all huddle up. No ancestors, no parents' teams, just your core group. And you just do this in your imagination. You can ask the guides to help locate your team and to bring them around you. And just take a few deep breaths. And now we're going to ask your team to locate their essence deep within themselves. So you here in the physical dimension, the human, you don't have to do anything right now. Just let your team locate their essence, to bring their awareness back onto their own line. Sometimes teams show up as a group. So if that's the case, we invite the group to recognize the essence. And just notice and see if you feel a shift in your energy fields, in your body, in your breathing. And then invite them to acknowledge themselves, to appreciate themselves, and then perhaps thank them for simply holding vigil and space around you in this incarnation. So it's just a very simple exercise.
Oh, that's nice. What it did is it clarified the frequency of each one. So now it's like each of the team's root frequencies like humming around me clearly now.
Wonderful. Very cool. Yeah. And it's incredibly supportive, and it actually, I have seven principles that I that I teach, and the first principle is you're never alone. You may perceive that you're alone here in the physical dimension, but there are these other beings in these other dimensions that are just, you know, they're hanging with you, and they hear you, and you hear them, and you're empathically affected by each other. And so start working as a group consciously, and using these other dimensions to affect a change in your physical world.
Yeah. You know, we don't have too much time, but I want to play a little bit of a song from your album, because the music you do is incredible.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask, is the toning that we heard at the beginning, is that on one of your CDs?
It is. It's actually on Angel Healing.
Mm-hmm.
And people can buy that off of my website, which is aleyadao.com.
That's Aleya, A-L-E-Y-A-D-A-O.
.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm also doing daily meditations that have energetic protocols and sound healing. And anybody that's listening, if you want to receive a sample week, I would love to gift that to you. Just email me at info@aleyadao.com, and I will put you on and gift you with a sample week of daily meditations with sound healing and energetic protocols.
Cool.
And here's Awaken.
Great. So let's listen to the last piece, which is off which album now?
Awaken.
Awaken.
Yeah.
That's great. My main album is called Awakening.
Nice.
Okay, Don, go ahead and play that if you're there.
That was short.
Really short. Yeah.
Really short. Well,
you can actually hear more of it.
Uh-huh.
You can hear more of it on your website. I've checked it out there.
Yeah.
Wow. So, what's the main thing we can do right now to raise our consciousness and help the planet in 1 minute or less?
That's a great question. Love yourself and model right energy. So stop taking on the tasks and responsibilities of fixing everyone and being everyone's savior, and do for you. Because if we don't shift ourselves, we can't shift each other. We can only give that which we have fully received for ourselves. So, you know, make it the task of falling deeply in love with you. Be your best lover you've ever had. Appreciate yourself. And
take yourself
as you do
out
that,
to dinner.
Yeah. You show others how to do it.
Nice. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining
us. You're so welcome, David.
What I'd like to do, the way I'd like to end, is to take the intention or the frequency of gratitude and bring that frequency in again and hold that frequency. And everybody that's listening, hold that frequency of pure gratitude. And hold that frequency into the evening, into the rest of the weekend, into the week ahead, into the months ahead, to the years ahead, the years ahead. And then, lifetimes ahead. In deep gratitude, thank you.
Thank you, David. Have a wonderful evening.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.